knows where, who knows where.
Okay, thank you for joining me today. It's Claire, and I have my fantastic guest, Agnes Kwan, in the studio with me.
Hello again.
Thank you, Agnes. I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, and do not hope thee. Love thee, sorry. Too many hopes there. So, Agnes, last week you came and spoke about the importance of Eucharistic adoration. Would you just like to give a brief recap for those who didn't hear the program last week?
Sure, thank you. And hello everybody again. Last week we were trying to explain why it is important to go to adoration. And as I explained last week, that a lot of people would think that going to adoration is only for those priest, religious sisters, very devoted people. But no, we are trying to change our mentality that we are all have to go to adoration. And the reason is that the Lord exposed, hidden in the Eucharist, is a merciful Lord. And He is waiting for us to come to Him to receive His healing, to receive His mercy, to receive His love, to receive His peace, which is what we so need these days.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, couldn't put it better myself. So just recapping a little bit too, Agnes, how did you come to this movement, to this apostolate?
Sure. I belong to a lay consecrated community called Eucharistic Oblate for the Vulnerable. Mm-hmm. They're based in Hong Kong. I originally come from Hong Kong. And they started this perpetual Eucharistic adoration movement 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and registered as a station of faithful, mm-hmm. in the Diocese of Macau. Mm-hmm. And somehow the Lord has sent me, mm-hmm. to New Zealand. I've been living in New Zealand for 30 years, mm-hmm. And Auckland itself for 20 years. And I just felt that Hong Kong is not my mission field, mm-hmm. and I was struggled quite a lot when I was with them in Hong Kong. I said to my superior that, you know, they could send me to the Philippines, they could send me to India, but then I can't live in Hong Kong.
Yes.
So we both discern, and then we know that the Lord want me to be here in New Zealand to promote Eucharistic adoration in this country. I know that a lot of parishes, praise God, that have adoration in their parish. But what we want to know, what we want to tell people is that just 1 hour a week is not enough. Mm. We need to open up the church 24/7 to let people to come to the Lord anytime, anywhere. Because the Adoration Chapel, especially a 24/7 Adoration Chapel, it is like a hospital, an emergency room that whoever just need, we can just rush to them. It's just like, for example, you go to Titirangi Adoration as well. And at night, for a lot of people as well, they would love to go to adoration at night, the nighttime, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I have a little bit of testimony to share with you.
Sure, please.
That I used to be depression, suicidal. And there are lots of night that is just so difficult to, I thought I would just kill myself. I would just want to jump out from the window. I live in the city in one of the apartments. But I thank God that because there is a place where I can visit the Blessed Sacrament, even in the middle of the night, that the Lord touched me and healed me and helped me to pass through all those darkest nights in my life.
Wow.
So a perpetual Eucharist adoration chapel is important to, it's just like a hospital to welcome all the wounded people to come anytime. But I understand that in New Zealand it's not easy because, you know, parishes usually are quite small. We do not have enough people to sustain the...
It is hard to get the roster going.
Yeah, I know. But at least maybe one church in a cluster or in a deanery that will be have 24/7 or even if it's just a little bit longer time, more than just an hour a week.
I think
it would be good.
It's growing, though, don't you think, Eckhart?
Yes, I do see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just because I do go out to Mount St. Mary's in Titirangi, you know, quite reasonably often, I can tell you a couple of little stories that, you know, through the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, this family turned up. It was an Indian family and had about 4 children, and they were all dressed in their pajamas, and because that was their time slot. And they just came, and the children, you know, from about 2 aged upwards, it was so powerful to watch them.
Yes.
And then another time I was there on Christmas Day, and I had a very important prayer for one of my family who had been injured. And so we'd had our big Christmas lunch, so I thought, well, I've got nothing else to do for the evening. I knew that they had a special evening planned, but they were very ill, and I didn't know if they'd be able to survive it. So I thought I'd go and spend the whole afternoon and evening in the Adoration Chapel. So there was just one other person, a man and me. And so about an hour later, Francis and Grace's family, who Grace organises the roster, the whole family, huge family of homeschooled children, they all turned up. Now, this is Christmas Day, and they all turned up, and they cleaned, and they scrubbed, and they swept, and they vacuumed, and, you know, got everything ready. It was just, in fact, it was the day before Christmas, because they were getting ready for Sunday Mass. And then even the littlies, there was a whole horde of them. It was just beautiful to watch. And then after they'd finished their work, a couple of hours, then they all kneeled down at the altar, and the eldest led them in prayers, and they had all these little, said their prayers, and that was about half an hour. And even though we'd, the other man and I had already probably done our rosaries, the eldest son said, okay, now we're going to do the rosary. And so the man and I looked at each other, we nodded heads, and we thought, okay, we'll do it too. And so this young man, you know, teenager, led about, I don't know, 9 people just praying the rosary. It was beautiful, and credit to this family. And I think that is the power of adoration. When you see the fruits in this family, they are extraordinary children.
Yes.
Yeah. And the parents are extraordinary, and the blessings of that family.
Yes, especially young children, little children. It's lovely to see them adore the Lord.
Yes, and wasn't it Pope John Paul II, was it 1981, that he really started encouraging people to do the 24 hours?
Yes, So this PM is a response to St. John Paul II's request to have perpetual Eucharistic adoration all over the world. So this is our mission, is to go to the parishes to encourage them to have longer hours of adoration. And at the same time, we encourage not only Catholic, but also, I mean, we start with Catholic first, to encourage them to go to adoration, and also ask them to invite their friends, even they are not believers, invite them to come to the adoration, to receive the blessing from the Lord.
And so, Agnes, how is it going? Is it spreading? And what's happening?
Yes, it's praise God, is spreading. Yeah, spreading, and even faster than I thought. Sometimes I just, because I also have to, I have a full time work. Sometimes I would just pray to the Lord. Lord, I don't want to go to work because there's so many other things that I need to do to promote adoration.
Yes. Oh well, maybe it might come to the point you can do that full time. Who knows?
Yeah, but it's just I'm so excited to see people coming to the adoration. As you have mentioned last week, that at Hernbay now we have got adoration from 7 o'clock at night.
Every night.
And I'm happy to see there's always new faces come. Even though they may just come for once or twice and then disappear. But then at least I know that they know that this is a place that for them they can just turn up whenever they need.
Absolutely. And they will, I mean, you know, the times that I've gone, I see the same people coming, which is lovely. So you've got your regulars.
Yeah, yes, true.
Which is really good. Mm. And also Father Rory, I mean, one night, it might have been last week or the week before, he's sitting right at the back in the corner, snuggled up with his hat and his scarf. It was cold. It was very cold. But he's so faithful.
Yes, he is. He is.
He's incredible.
Thanks for him. Yes.
Definitely the Holy Spirit led you to Father Rory for sure. Yes, and so what about your own family? Agnes, what is your background? Have you always been a Catholic?
Yes, I was born. I was born a Catholic. I was baptized when I was 1 month old.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's mother, my grandmother from my mother's side, was a missionary when she was young in Hong Kong. Because at that time in the 50s and 60s, Hong Kong was very poor. So we had a lot of missionary from the state, from other countries to come to Hong Kong to help. Mm. And also with the help of the local people to spread the gospel. So my grandmother was was one of those. My father's side were baptized, but then they were not practiced anymore. Mm. So I have been praying for my family's conversion.
Great.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about when somebody dies, it's the eternal now. You know, even though they might have died 20 years ago, you can still be praying for them.
Yes.
And those prayers are still effective.
Yes, yes.
You know, because God doesn't operate in time.
True.
That's hard. We don't understand that.
True, yes.
And so Monsignor Cronin, the late and great, I call him, who was in charge of the whole Hume Bay Parish, and he was my parish priest in Devonport many years ago, he said that if you're praying for someone, you must never, ever stop praying. Because you may be the only person in the world who is praying for that person. And, you know, without your prayers, they may never reach the eternal destination that God wants them to.
Yes.
And I've really taken that on board. And there's a couple of people that I, you know, have lost touch with years ago. But I'm still praying for them.
Mm. Yes, great.
It's good.
Yeah.
So it's very funny that you should mention your grandmother. I always find in my work with the pregnant woman, that the young girls themselves might, they always, you know, I ask them, you know, do you have any religious background? Oh, I believe in God of the universe. And, you know, the young girls, this is what they say. But when I ask a bit more, there's often a Catholic grandmother in the background, which is quite interesting.
Yes.
Which has possibly led them, you know, to seek help and, Catholic grandmothers, they're great.
They are, yes.
That is so good. So what about your friends, Agnes? What do they think of you doing all of this apostolate?
I started to losing more my friends now.
Yes. I'm not surprised.
Yes, because first of all, I won't have time to go out for dinner anymore. But it's as a banquet that I'm enjoying every night in front of the Lord in the heavens. So,
exactly.
I started to see some people come to the adoration because I invite them, and they started to ask why we need to come to adoration too.
Mm.
So I'm glad that the Lord has chosen me to this apostolate, that so that you know more and more people will be able to come to the Lord. For his grace.
Well, he has definitely chosen you, that's for sure. Now, we're going to nearly time for Divine Mercy Hour, but I think we'll just start a little bit early. I'll just explain, if you're just listening for the first time, that this is a beautiful prayer that our Lord gave to Saint Faustina. And so it's a shortened version of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, very powerful prayer. And firstly, God is just, but firstly, he is merciful. And so we want to cry out for his mercy, because if we don't, we might end up with his justice. So, as I said, it's a little short that we do here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you are pregnant and worried, there is a fantastic organisation in Auckland called Family Life International, and their number is 0274 488 070. Now, you can ring them any time of day or night, and there will be some friendly voice on the end of the phone to help you in all of your needs. So, Agnes, just maybe a little word, and then I'm just going to say a little bit about the pilgrimage because we're nearly finished, okay? So would you like to just say one final thing about, you know, where to go, why should we go there, and the importance of perpetual adoration?
Sure. I don't know whether you realize that I have been put on this YouTube channel, okay, with the live adoration last week and also okay now while we are talking. Because somebody will say that, oh, my parents do not have adoration, or I live too far away, or I am sick, I am staying in the hospital. How can I go to the adoration, even though I want to receive the healing from the Lord? And we thank God that, you know, through the technology, we have got, there's a company in the state that put up this live stream adoration 24/7.
Wow.
And because I believe that the Lord transcends, you know, time and space. So there over the states, they have got the adoration, but through the internet, we can still adore.
Yes.
So I have been encouraging a lot of people to have this adoration at when they are at home praying or visited. I've got a friend in Hong Kong whose mom has been in hospital. So she has been using this YouTube channel to visit her mom every time, because her mom were in Adora as well before when she was well. So that her mom would be able to do the adoration as well while she was in the hospital. So basically what we have to be aware is we always have to let the Eucharist be the center of our life. And this is important. So only through that our church can be reformed, our culture, our society can be reformed. So one of the things, one of the mission of this PM is to advocate the cultural Eucharistic culture. Just we have to start as our Catholic. As a Catholic ourselves, we have to start ourselves that we have to always have the Eucharist as the center of our life. And we trust in Our Lady that she will guide us, because she will lead us to His Son, to her Son.
Now, I know, Rose, you're trying to get a website up and running. How's that going?
Oh, still working on it. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe soon there might be a website.
Yes. But if you like to know more about this PM, we have a very simple website at the moment, which is peam.org. peam.org. That's quite simple to remember.
That's fantastic. Agnes, thank you so much for coming on the programs for the last 2 weeks. It's absolutely amazing. And I'm sure people would have got a lot out of that.
Thank you.
And let's hope they turn up at Hume Bay. If you're in Auckland, between 7 and 10, 7 nights a week, Agnes will be there. That is absolutely fantastic. Now, a little bit of update about the pilgrimage. It's going fantastically well. Really amazing. As I said, I was able to select the parishes that we visited, and in 1 week, after extending the invitation to 57 parishes throughout New Zealand, 55 said yes within 7 days.
Praise God.
Praise God. And the two that couldn't, they had prior engagements and, you know, a big feast there and et cetera, et cetera. So the priests were so supportive. Their comments were amazing. And, you know, it's just our expectations. Mm. And basically, angels in New Zealand have appeared in every town, just putting their hands up. Complete strangers. I mean, you know, I rang people down in Bluff. I had no idea, never met, haven't even been down there. But the Holy Spirit must have sent them to me. And, in fact, I rang Father Pat McGettigan, and I, you know, had sent him an email, introduced myself. Mm. I said, Father, is there anyone you can recommend here? And he gave me a name, and she has run with it. And so, you know, thank you, Josie. That was amazing. Very, very grateful. And there's been Josies all over New Zealand. Mm. We've had quite a few parishes emailed and said, you know, we'll be in it. And unfortunately, because I said possible itinerary initially, but it was only possible because we didn't want to presume that the priests would agree. Mm. So we'd already invited them, and we couldn't add any more because, you know, we had the route and this is and the days, and it was very specific. I spent days and days just before last Monday, or the Monday, I should say, that we started, just checking my atlas. I've no idea of the geography of the South Island, and just going and looking at the parishes and the churches and the people, and making the final selection. So that was fun to do.
Praise God!
But there was a couple of churches and basilicas that are closed due to the earthquake strengthening. But that was all right. We went to other places, and no, the priests were phenomenal. Mm. I was very, very humbled, and everyone just got on board with it. So it's Friday the 13th, and you still have time to catch the pilgrimage. It goes until the 18th of September. Mm. So if you're getting close to Wellington and in Auckland and coming up the South Island, please, you know, look into the website, see where we are. We've got a little map, and it's got two little lines, and you can watch them as they get closer and closer to Wellington. So the final mass will be absolutely phenomenal. I don't think that, quite frankly, but, you know, we'll see. So that's St. Francis de Sales on Wednesday, Island Bay, Wednesday at 7 p.m. As I said, take some time and your leave and get down there. You will absolutely love it. Oh, well, once again, we are going to have to sign off because the program ends far too quickly.
The road is long. Heavy, he's my brother.